Second Peter is such a great book, and a lot of people look at Second Peter and they see this second chapter and they say, that is such a heavy chapter, and it is. It is a rich chapter in which Peter warns of false teachers. And perhaps in our day and age, it's a chapter that we ought to be reading more of because he lists so many characteristics of what is a false teacher. In giving characteristics, I want you to notice with me verse 3 of 2 Peter chapter 2, and I want us to look at a word in that verse. Peter writes and says, "And through covetousness they shall with feigned words make merchandise of you, whose judgment now of a long time lingereth not, and their damnation slumbereth not." You know, people read that passage, and they say, what in the world does it mean there to make merchandise of you? I want us to look at that word, make merchandise, for today in our segment. The word make merchandise, I'm not going to pronounce the original term, but have you ever used in your language the word emporium? That word emporium, the English word, is a transliteration of the original term that means essentially the same thing. In James 4:13, James uses that same word where he says, "Go to now, ye that say, today or tomorrow we'll go into such a city and continue there a year, and buy and sell," that's the word emporium that's used there, "and get gain." So the idea is selling something and getting gain as a result of that. In the original word, it meant simply to trade. It meant to travel about as a merchant or a trader. And notice that in 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 3, he says that they shall with feigned words make merchandise of you. And it's interesting that the word feigned there is the word plastos. It's the word that we get our English equivalent from, plastic. There, the word simply means to mold or to be artificial or deceptive or fake or something that's false. The idea is they take these words and mold them in such a way as to sell out the souls of those that they are preaching to. Now, what this indicates is that there is always, 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 always a motive with a false teacher. There's always some motive with false teachers. And in verse 15 of the same chapter, Peter writes and says, "...which have forsaken the way of right, and are gone astray, following the way of Balaam, the son of Bozar, who loved the wages of unrighteousness." It's interesting that in 2 Peter chapter 2, the feigned words that they were doing to make merchandise of these men were spoken with the motivation of gaining something monetarily. They loved the wages of sin. They were after some sort of payment as a result of their speaking those words. And listen, it is a trademark of false teachers that they love money. They love to profit in some way off of their heresy. For example, you take televangelists, you take seminars and conference speakers, and these men who charge people to come in and listen to them speak these fancy words. Just like Paul wrote about in Romans chapter 16, they have these fair words and smooth speeches and deceive the hearts of the simples, and they're charging men for that. What they're doing is they're getting rich off of using these plastic words to deceive the hearts of men and women. They're gaining some profit off of destroying the souls of others. I remember some years ago I was able to conduct be a part of a mission trip, and we were down on an island. It was a very remote island, and I had been able to, it was my pleasure to have a Bible study with one of the locals there. And she was talking about how that she had sent her entire income, all of her year's annual income, to a very infamous televangelist. She believed him to be very famous at that point. And she worked at a local hotel that charged about $5,000 a night to stay there. And she noticed that the same person that she was sending all of this money to was coming down for months at a time and staying, spending several hundred thousand dollars to stay in this. And she finally figured out that he was just simply using her and everybody that was sending money to get rich. And she said, he's a false teacher, right? And so we talked about it, and she was able to discern that he was. False teachers love the wages of sin. There's always some motivation as a result of that. And along those lines, I wanted to make this point. In the Bible, truth is free. Men do not charge you to hear the truth. And that's the wonderful thing about programs like this and about the Gospel Broadcasting Network. We're not asking you to send us money. The truth is free. We're not after the wages of unrighteousness. What we want is for you to believe and to obey the truth. And God made the truth free for every man. in John 8, 31 and 32. That's exactly what we must do, to know the truth and to believe it and be made free as a result of doing what it says to do. So listen, when you're evaluating men and men are requiring something of you, they're loving the wages of unrighteousness or the wages of sin, they love money, and you can see behind that is the ability of those men to use plastic words to sell out your soul. Don't believe men like that. You go to the Bible, you prove it from the Bible, and you believe what the Bible says, and listen, no speaker of truth is ever going to ask you to pay to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ. He's never going to do that. Because some men make merchandise of your soul. But true speakers of truth will never do that. Make merchandise. I hope that provides a good warning for you today and to see what truth is versus error. That's been our word for today. I'm David Smith, and this is In a Word.